we found that having designated parking areas in the farms really decrease the odds of having outbreaks. And by that, I mean having different parking lots for employees, deliveries, and visitors. We also found that having dedicated equipment for manure pumping exclusive to the site also decreased those odds.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Through innovative solutions, cutting-edge research, and world-class experts, Boehringer Ingelheim helps producers operate with complete confidence. Learn more at bi-animalhealth.com. Ralco, proven science, practical results.
Welcome to the Swine Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine health research digested for you. My name is Dr. Clayton Johnson, and I'm the host of the podcast. And joining me in our podcast studios for this week's edition is Dr. Maria Post. Dr. Maria Post is a research assistant at Iowa State University, and Dr. Post has recently completed some very interesting research in the world of wean-to-harvest biosecurity with a focus on some of the things that seem to be associated with PRRS outbreaks in our wean-to-finish farms. Maria, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on here. Let's start, if we would, with the important stuff. In your research, what did you find as the biosecurity practices that were the most important on these wean-to-finish style of farms?
Hello, Dr. Johnson. First of all, thank you very much for the invitation. The pleasure is mine to be here today. So what we found in this research was that we have some practices associated with a lower number of outbreaks for the winter harvest phase. And those results are actually very interesting because they are not super high tech, but they are mostly related to controlling to reduce the indirect contact and the cross contamination in between farms. So first of all, we found that having designated parking areas in the farms really decreased the odds of having outbreaks. And by that, I mean having different parking lots for employees, deliveries, and visitors. We also found that having dedicated equipment for manure pumping exclusive to the site also decreased those odds. And regarding the people in the farms, we found that for employees that work multiple farms, and by that I mean multiple farms in the system, if they have a downtime, for downtime they have one night down before going to the next farm, that also reduce the odds. And finally, one practice that I find very interesting and it's very easy to apply is having a bench entry in those sites that also decrease the odds of PRRS outbreaks.
At Ralco, we are built to solve the problems that matter most. We work alongside swine producers, veterinarians, and consultants to evaluate production pressures and apply our proven technologies in real-world systems to strengthen animal health, improve performance, and bring stability to the day-to-day demands of farming. Backed by research, field experience, and responsive technical support, we turn complexity into clarity so you can move forward with confidence.
Very interesting. I mean, it sounds like you looked at industry standard, let's call it biosecurity approaches. I'm sure for our audience, they're familiar with a bench. They're familiar with designated parking areas and downtime. And it's one thing to have those attributes at your farm, Maria. But as you know, execution of how we use those things can be a challenge, or maybe it's a concern for some producers. So were you able to understand how you can get some sort of confidence with the daily execution of using the bench correctly or using the right parking lot, things like that? Were you able to understand how important that is or how we can get confidence that those items are being used correctly?
Yeah, so that is a complicated matter, right? Because when we talk about reporting, we only have a snapshot of what exist, but not necessarily we know what is happening in the everyday life in the farm. So that also, flirts a little bit with what you discussed in your presentation on McKean last year, that usually we do audits in pig farms, hopefully once a month, and we cannot see what is going on in the everyday life. But I think we can be confident saying that when we report something, especially when we talk about structure parts, like having a bench or having a designated parking space, those things exist. But then our work as vets is to not only audit to see if that is really being correctly implemented, but also training the people who are going to do that. Because we can have the most perfect biosecurity protocol in paper. However, if you do not have it well explained for the person that is going to do, the person won't do it because it doesn't make sense for the person to do. And not only that, it's our job as vets, because not only we understand what it needs to be done in the normal handling of animals in a day, but also the biosecurity practices. So we gotta think how we can implement biosecurity in a way that is not going to interfere with the workflow, but it will make sense so people can do it in the everyday life. So I think it is complicated to only rely on reporting, but reporting leads us to auditing and training and adjusting for it to work better.
Do you have any tips, Maria, for the audience on how vets can translate these SOPs into daily work? I mean, how can we make sure that the SOP is set up for success, that the SOP is one that actually fits well into the worker's schedule and is something that's easy for them to execute so that ultimately the compliance does go up?
Yeah, I think it's very important for the vets, the managers, to understand the particular farm. So they know how long it takes for the employees to complete a chore. And then they can adjust it for that farm. And usually systems have a very standard workflow of chores in a day. So you can also have it standardized, but you gotta understand what's going on in your site. And like one thing that we saw that actually increased the odds of outbreaks is the use of rendering. So rendering it's a huge part of the industry. We are not going to get rid of rendering, but we can make the disposal of animals the last chore of the day. And then we can ask for the employees to shower in when they go to a next farm. So we can cut the cycle of the tree failures that Dr. Holtkamp has taught us, right?
Maria, if I'm at a farm and I have rendering, or I'm at a farm and I'm in a very pig-dense area, I'm sure you had similar situations like that in your study. I'm sure you had examples of wean-to-finish farms in pig-dense areas with high-risk activities like rendering. Were you able to see from your study that it's possible to get those pigs all the way to harvest time without breaking with PRRS? I mean, I know some folks don't necessarily believe that's possible. Can you shed some light on whether you were able to find examples of that or not?
We did find those examples, all right? We followed 95 farms in 8 different states of the Midwest. And some of those farms were in very high dense areas of Iowa or even Nebraska. And some farms can stay negative during the whole winter harvest phase. And what we saw is that they had some practices that worked better for them. But you know that when you are in a high density area and in an area that has mostly winter harvest, the biosecurity won't be as good, or not as good, but won't be as complex, because we focus our our biosecurity efforts in breeding herds. But the winter harvest phase will spill back into those breeding herds. So when you have a high density area, we gotta think that it is smart to allocate more resources there. So take the time to train your employees. Surveillance matters. It's good to understand what type of strain you have there too, because then you can also see where does that came from. And we have lots of research in that with spillovers in our research group. And what we got to do is that allocate better resources. And I don't mean only financial, but also time and training, and in a way that works for everyone, for it to be implemented every single day.
It's fantastic. I think it's a positive message for our audience, Maria, that biosecurity can be effective at preventing disease from coming in, even in high-risk situations. And I think your message is a good one, that maybe we as veterinarians don't need to build new SOPs or don't need to look for a new fancy technology to be our solution all the time. We need to focus on using the tried and true methods that have improved biosecurity everywhere over time. And to your point, you know, focus on the people that do those and make sure that we are teaching that information effectively so that we get good compliance with the tools we already have. I think it's an excellent message for our audience. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that with everybody.
Thank you so much. I had a really great time.
Excellent. Well, I think because of your good work, the audience had a pretty good time as well and got some good information here. Thank you to everybody out there for listening to the Swine Health Black Belt podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please go to whatever subscription service you like to use, Spotify, you know, Apple Podcasts, you name it, and go ahead and subscribe. And if you would, take a second, give us a review to help push more people to this very good information. If you know somebody that's concerned about biosecurity, send them this episode. There's some great information here that they can practically apply. For Dr. Maria Post, I'm Dr. Clayton Johnson. It has been our pleasure to spend some time with you, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.